I'm Jerry McGreer.
I'm Chris Mosier.
And this is Non-Human Biologics, the creepy but necessary podcast that's afraid of the lights, but only one very specific kind of light. We're back to talk about more of the X-Files. Chris, how are you today?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing well. This episode has a little meaning for you. Like you had a little memory of this, I believe.
I remembered really liking this episode for some reason. And maybe it was just like, I thought that Darkness Falls, I liked the title of it or something.
Because
it's about bugs.
Uh-huh.
You're kind of a bug guy. Known as a bug guy. Maybe I am a bug guy.
You've become a bug guy over the last 7 or 8 years.
I'm a bug guy. I think that's why I liked this episode.
it's famously noted in most modern television that the bug episodes are the format of a lot of fan theories and I don't know that follows here, although this is a pretty decent bug episode. I kind of dug this.
It's just like a good horror movie setup. I think that's why I liked it.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because we'll talk about it, but this was written again by Chris Carter, the creator of the show, and has nothing to do with like the overarching mythos.
Yeah, I think sometimes he just liked having fun.
He just liked having a good time and like coming up with some crazy plots and some crazy scenarios for Mulder and Scully to get into. Before we get too far into the episode, let's thank our patrons over at patreon.com/monsteroftheweek. They donate money every month to get access to episodes of this podcast early, which you can do on Spotify now, by the way. I don't know if did I tell you that. Like, you can have early episodes on Spotify if you do a bunch of weird shit with your Patreon and Spotify.
Drop that
account.
RSS feed in there or whatever?
Dude, I have no fucking clue. Like, you have to, like, link accounts or something. That's bizarre to me. I don't know. But go check all that stuff out. We very much appreciate all the people that do it. Chris, what has been happening on the X-Files this week?
Well, last time on the X-Files, Mulder and Scully investigated a strange murder case that Mulder suspected could be linked to a strange skin-changing curse. And while Scully vehemently denies the existence of werewolves, when all of those seemingly affected by the curse have died, the investigation comes to an uncertain end. That was very vague.
It's very vague. It's almost like you're trying to hide us from the fact that we watched this episode. Because even listening, I was like, what episode is he talking about?
They went to a Native American reservation and they fought werewolves.
How did you say that without saying the word hawk at any point in time? That's what I need
to ask. Dude, I didn't
you.
Even bring up... Oh, disappointing.
We're covering X-Files Season 1, Episode 20, Darkness Falls. The agents become trapped in a forest where 30 loggers strangely disappear with the same fate eerily approaching them. The agents, which is how we're going to refer to Mulder and Scully from now on. This aired on April 15th, 1994, written by Chris Carter, directed by Joe Napolitano. Notably, in one of the guest starring roles is Titus Welliver playing Doug Spinney. Did you recognize him? At all?
I did recognize him, but I didn't know from where. He just looked familiar.
Fucking everything, including he was War and Supernatural, which is probably like closest to our hearts.
Yep.
But he's been in fucking everything. Like, if you go back, he's got like 111 IMDb credits. It's a lot of like genre
like
TV
guy.
Shows.
This guy's got a good vibe.
He's got a good character actor. Just like he's been in just basically anything that you'd want to see. So it's fun to watch him. I was like, when I saw him show up, because I didn't know he was going to be in this, I was like, oh, it's this guy. This has to be like his first role. No, not at all. He's got like 15 credits already before this. And I was like, damn, this dude's a working fucking actor, man. Like, this guy's been
working actors. Like, these people are the heart and soul of television.
I love it.
Like,
especially
you get somebody like him who just brings it. And you buy into the episode. You're already bought into your main characters, but when you get great guest stars, it's fucking rocks, you know? Yeah.
Let's start it out. We're in the Olympic National Forest in the state of Washington, where we see two people arguing in the woods surrounded by loggers. They all have like logging kind of wear on. They seem to be arguing about something that's coming to get them. We don't really know what it is. We're kind of brought in media res in the middle of this conversation. You like my fancy new words?
I'm all taken aback.
I even said like the definition of the word after the phrase just to make sure people understood that I was knowledgeable, that I knew what I was saying. They're having this argument. One person wants to like send one guy out basically to hike out and get help, and the other person is like, "No, I think we should all just run and scatter." So
yeah, that sounds like a good idea because the sun's about to set, and if it does, we're fucked. We don't really know why, and before we learn anything, they're all just like, "All right, well, scatter, time to run," and they all just start boogieing. And as the sun goes down, as darkness falls on the forest, It's just chaos. It's pure chaos. People are screaming and shouting in the darkness. You don't know what's going on. One of the guys falls. He breaks his leg or something. We get his friend trying to drag him along as this kind of humming sounds starts to grow in the darkness around them. And then a swarm of bugs comes out and descends on them.
God, I love a swarm of bugs. We even get a fade to green in this.
Fade to green, dude.
I love a fade to green, Chris. Like, I don't think I've ever seen one
before.
The
rare fade to green.
But man, a fade to green is fucking hype. Like, it got me excited when I saw this. I was like, yes, absolutely. Yeah. They do some stuff with the light bulb that I'll talk about later, too, that I really like, too. We go to our intro. The truth is out there, Chris. I don't know if you understood. Got that. Mulder is giving... I think that Mulder just sets this stuff up to have fun. Like, he has one slide in this presentation. I feel like he was like, Scully, come in
Didn't
here.
Didn't need slides. He could have just handed it to her.
I need to brief you. And she's like, sits down and she sees the projector and she's like, oh, I'm going to be here forever. But the joke is he's only got one slide. It's just one picture.
That's so good. He definitely has fun with it. He plays with the expectations.
There. Oh, God, I love playing with the expectations, Chris. It's so much fun. He shows her a picture of the manly men in the full bloom of their manhood.
Check out these manly hunks. right. No, what is the exact quote? Rugged manly men in the full bloom of their manhood. Good stuff.
Mulder has
that's usually how people describe us, dear listener. If you don't know this, that's how Jeremy and I are described often. I recently developed a mustache, so this is me.
You did absolutely.
I had a huge beard and I was like, beard's gotta go, but I just kept the upper lip. I look like an insane person
because of weird chemo things. I've been letting my beard grow a lot longer than it usually is, and I'm not taking pictures of my face, so occasionally I just see like myself in the mirror and I'm like, whoa, who is this guy?
Yeah, who's
gotta
this?
Got to trim this down. anyway, so he's describing that he's telling Scully that all of these loggers disappeared. And he shows her two pictures, one of Doug Spinney and one of another guy who doesn't matter. Teague is another guy who's going to die kind of off screen. These are echo terrorist, which I just learned that I've been mispronouncing my entire life, apparently, because I thought the word would be eco terrorist.
I say it eco terrorist. Is it not eco terrorist?
Well, they say echo terrorist throughout this.
Well, they're
episode,
saying it wrong,
and it just really fucking bugs me. I don't know. Like, it's a really it's
you know
annoying.
Who else is an eco terrorist? Barrett Wallace, Cloud Strife, Tifa Lockhart, eco terrorist. All three of them.
I had the screen paused on Final Fantasy VII Remake, and I was in the menu, so it shows like Cloud and Barrett and Tifa, like it has their like portraits or whatever.
Oh yeah.
And Autumn walked in and was like, who the fuck is that guy? Like, the other two are anime as fuck. Who is this dude? And I'm he's Barrett.
He's showing up, dude.
Yeah, he's a good dude. He loves his daughter.
He's got a gun for an arm. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that.
I did tell her that he has a gun for an arm. And she's like, I don't know why I need to know that information. I don't know either. I just wanted to tell you. I don't know how it works. Like, does he trigger it with his nerve and things? Like, it seems a little weird.
I think so. It's also detachable. All right, so these fellows have gone missing, right? So these were two environmental saboteurs, if you don't want to use the word eco or eco-terrorist.
Well, these two haven't been spotted missing. They just have been sighted in the area and causing
problems. Yeah, up to no good. They're up to no good.
Mulder had to pull some strings to make sure they got this case, and he did it because a very similar thing happened in 1939, where a group of loggers just all disappeared. Scully has...
Scully is like, so why are you interested in this? And he had to be like, well, it happened 40 years ago or whatever.
And Scully is like, what, so you suspect Bigfoot? And he's like, no, that's way too much flannel for Bigfoot to eat. And I'm like, thank you, Mulder.
He can't stop. When you got it, sometimes you just can't keep it in.
He is so sassy this episode. Like, he feels like me and you when we have one beer on a podcast. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I'm drinking a seltzer right now, and I might as well be drunk. Like, I'm fired up.
They head out to the Northwest. They meet Larry the Freddy, which is what the eco terrorist call the Federal Forest Service agents.
I call this guy the Ranger the entire time. I don't think he's a Ranger. He's not a Ranger.
He's not Aragorn of Iridale or whatever the fuck.
That's accurate.
This dude has his windshield shot up. He thinks one of the eco terrorists shot up his windshield. And he makes the point of saying that he supports the message of what the eco terrorists are doing, but not the methods. So he's very like 2024 centerline kind of, or maybe like 2012 centerline kind of guy of like, I like the means, but the ends, whatever.
Not to defend him, but they did shoot his windshield.
up. But he likes trees. Like, this guy's kind of a nerd, which I dig. It's very fun.
I like this character. Yeah, he fits an interesting kind of mold. Because then we are met with our like more confrontational character 2 seconds later. This guy Steve Humphries, he's head of security for the logging company. I think that they say that's what he is. He comes up and he's like, "Yeah, I was just talking to some of the the wives of the missing men, and everybody's upset, and we got a 4-hour drive up there, so let's get moving."
Yep. So the security guy on the way says that he kind of describes all these eco-terrorists as cowards, says they're the kind of dudes that ran from the Vietnam War to go up to Canada. And as they're having this conversation, and you can tell, like, Scully hasn't quite rolled her eyes yet, but she is ready to roll her eyes at this dude.
Those things are locked and loaded and ready to roll.
Yeah. But before that can happen, they hit what the eco-terrorists call a caltrop. And so they basically...
I think everyone calls them that. Those are caltrops. That's what those are called.
Steve makes the point of, like, the eco-terrorists call these caltrops.
And I'm
like,
you're right.
What do you call them? Like, that's what that fucking is. It's
that's
a caltrop.
They
like,
are.
Play some D&D, my guy. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, dog.
Go talk
Never
to your
played
son.
A rogue, I guess.
Have you never played a rogue? What's wrong with you? Are you a barbarian in every video game? What's wrong?
God.
Basically, the eco-terrorists all like just scatter these things throughout the roads. And there's no real way to stop them from doing it, and there's no real way to countermand it except just running over them, I guess. Personally, I would just put a magnet on the front of my truck. That would be that would probably fix a lot of these
problems.
I've been saying this. I've got ideas, Chris. Like, and some of these people don't have time for ideas. You know what I'm saying?
No, I guess not. Well, they got a 4-hour drive up there. They should be brainstorming instead of bullshitting.
Right? Like, if you've got a caltrop problem, a fucking magnet will help you solve it. Like, I'm just saying. Just strap one on the front of the... Anyway, doesn't matter. Now they have to hike to the camp is what happens. Yeah. So it's a long walk. They eventually arrive. The logging camp has been completely deserted. So the truck doors are wide open. We see some machines with like caltrops stuck in the tires. Mulder goes inside and finds a weird some weird smudge on a refrigerator, and also finds a bag of weed, which makes me think that these loggers were pretty cool.
Yeah, they're just chilling, dude.
Food is like kind of left in the middle, like everybody like.
I bet
left.
90s weed was crazy.
No, it wasn't. I can guarantee you it was not. No, like modern weed is fucking crazy, dude.
That's like, true. It's like scientifically engineered.
Yeah. Like I was basically smoking oregano at 14 and 15 years old. Like it was not anything. Like nobody knew what Kind Bud was until 1998. Okay. Like nobody knew that shit existed. Like it just wasn't, right. It wasn't around. The stuff my dad smoked back in his day, oh my god, nothing, absolutely no high whatsoever.
Nothing. Hey, it doesn't mean it wasn't crazy though. It doesn't mean it wasn't weird.
could have been weird. It just wasn't
good.
Could have
been weird weed, dude.
They find the weed. They find this food on the table. The camp has been completely kind of destroyed. So like they find
the radio has been destroyed.
They also like all of the vehicles. Like the eco-terrorists have come through and like filled up these vehicles with like rice in the radiator and sugar in the gas tank and all this other kind of stuff. They've also damaged the power generator, which is a bummer. So
yeah, just asshole moves all around.
Scully makes the point of saying, "Oh, you were right, Mulder. This definitely wasn't Bigfoot." Got him.
Yeah.
Got him, dude.
She can't turn it off either, dude.
They're both very sassy. Like they get to the Northwest. I guess that fresh Northwest air, right? Like,
They're getting a lot of oxygen. Their brains are working as well as they're supposed to. You know.
I think one of the things that I like about this episode a lot is the location. I don't know if they just found
Absolutely.
A place with the super tall trees in Vancouver, or if they actually like filmed some of this stuff on site.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it feels like they are in the Northwest because like bunch of foggy.
Vancouver
like,
basically
areas.
Is Pacific Northwest, right?
It's
right above Washington State, you know? It's right above Oregon.
I thought Vancouver was on the other side.
It's on the... I think it's on the West Coast.
Oh. Well, I just learned a fact about Canada that I didn't know before today.
Yeah, it's right... It's over there. It's
Man,
over there.
Chris, today has been a busy day.
Dude, you've got a lot going on today.
I'm learning some stuff today, man. Let me tell you.
All right. So we need to head out, and we need to explore the area before it gets dark. Just take a look around. Mulder with the Tims on. Just wanted to point that out. Mulder in the Tims. He's
I did not notice that. I'm very excited about that. Also, Scully in the weird vest was a real put off for me. Like, I don't know who's dressing Scully, but we need to fire
I mean,
them.
She was dressed for the weather. She wasn't trying to look good, you know? But Mulder, he's got the Tims on.
They go out to the woods, and they eventually see, like, this weird cocoon on a tree.
Of all the things to find in the woods.
A giant cocoon.
With a man in it.
They rig up a pulley system, and they lift a very nervous Scully. Scully looks so nervous on this pulley system, and I do not blame her. Like, I wouldn't trust these two guys to lift me up into a tree. And yes, as you mentioned, as she's about to cut this thing down so they can look at it, because it's super weird, she sees human fingers poking out, which is super gross. They eventually get the cocoon down, cut it open, and there's like a basically what looks like a mummified corpse. And Scully even confirms this. It's like almost all the fluids have been bled from the body. Some sort of spider or something maybe did this. We don't know what it could be.
Yuck. Not interested. No, thank you.
No, don't want to learn about this today. This is too much.
So yeah, it looks like it's been cured. It's all grossed out. They don't know what could have done this. Meanwhile, old Steve Humphreys is back at the cabin trying to get the generator going. And while he's by himself, he hears something and he kind of goes out to investigate with his rifle. And that's when he finds Doug Spinney. He's one of the eco-terrorists, the monkey wrenchers, I think he calls them.
Yep.
He finds this guy. He's in the cabin and he's just like scarfing down food. And so cut to a little bit later. This guy is basically, he's not under arrest, but they kind of got him sat down. Everybody's back. And this guy, Doug, starts explaining that darkness is their enemy and some shit's been going on out there and it's not good.
If I ever have to like stumble into a situation, I'm definitely leading with darkness is our enemy. Like, I'm just going to say that first and then like, I'm Jeremy, right? Or immediately afterwards. Yeah. I'm a podcaster from South Louisiana. Darkness is our enemy.
That's a way to leave an impression. You know what I mean?
I'm sorry. Did you say that you were... What about darkness? What are you saying there?
It's our enemy.
Our what now? It's our enemy. How do you figure that? Mulder wants to defuse the situation pretty quick because Steve is very aggro against this guy. This is one of the things I like about X-Files that I've talked about a bunch. It's like they have these little like small running through lines that don't really mean anything in the grand scheme of things, but just add a lot of flavor and character. Like Steve working for this logging company that has been continually harassed by these eco-terrorists in the form of Doug Spinney and his group is very aggressive towards this dude and like considers him a felon, wants him arrested immediately, interrogated, thinks that he's behind like the disappearance of all of these men. And Mulder has to come in and be like, hey, this dude looks like he has been on the fucking lam for 2 days. Like, you can't just shoot this guy. Like, you got to defuse the situation. And Steve is a little aggravated about that. Like, you could tell when Mulder comes in and, like, tries to chill out everything. And then he gets more aggravated as Spinney tells the story because he starts saying that things come from the sky and eats people. And that's what happened to his buddy Teague that we saw in the towards the beginning, which does not matter at all. I just remember this guy's
doesn't
name
matter
is Teague.
At all. But... Doug Spinney here, his people were got by whatever's going on out there too. It didn't just affect the loggers. Unfortunately, because they had allegedly sabotaged so much of the loggers' equipment, it kind of put everybody in a tough position.
Exactly.
But yeah, so he hasn't eaten in 3 days. So he's just going to go eat. He's like, I don't even give a shit anymore. I'm just going to go eat.
He also, during this, he accuses the logging company of taking trees they're not supposed to. So trees are marked with a yellow X that can be... with an orange X. Those are trees that are supposed to be preserved. They're not supposed to cut those trees down.
They're old growth trees. And then suddenly the cop, whatever his name is like, what the fuck? You're not supposed to be doing that.
Yeah.
Like, he immediately turns around and Steve just denies it. He's like, we're not doing that. It's not happening.
And Steve gets so mad, he just leaves. He's like, I don't believe any of this stuff. I'm going to go outside and prove he's right. And that Spinney is making up stories. So the rest of the crew follows outside and it's nighttime. And they see this dude like basically yelling at the sky, kind of making an ass out of himself. If we're being real, like this guy's kind of a dickhead.
Absolutely a dickhead.
And he kind of is just making an ass out of himself right now, which is funny. We do see some insects. Why they don't attack this dude, I don't know. Doesn't matter. Who cares? It's a story. Yeah. The Wikipedia for this episode is filled with people who absolutely hate this episode for one particular reason that we'll get into later, and I think it's very funny. So,
So nothing happens. So he's like, "Well, point proven. You're full of shit." And then the next day they just all are like, okay, I guess we'll hike out. And they're going to the site where the loggers were working. So they hike out to where the trees were cut down and immediately find a tree cut down that's at least 500 years old that was clearly marked to not be cut down. And as they're investigating this, they find like a strange green ring in the stump. You know, if you look at the stump and the rings of the tree for the ages, they're looking back a couple hundred years, they're seeing this strange green ring, and that's, they've never seen anything like that before. Meanwhile, Steve is just becoming more and more hostile towards everyone. He doesn't like being called out here. He doesn't like that they have this, you know, eco-terrorist with them. And he's not happy. He wants to hike out to the truck, get the hell out of there, call for backup. And because he's so hostile, I feel like everyone's just like, all right, just fucking go then.
Just leave. Yeah, we don't want you here. Yeah, you're not fun playing our board games. Like you were a bad fifth player. We don't want you here anymore. Yeah. Get out of here. And eventually he does. He goes to call more people to arrest Spinney, as he says. We get back to the camp, and this is when Larry starts turning into kind of a nerd, where he has a magnifying glass out and is looking at this green ring that they took. He took a core sample, and he sees that there's these weird bugs living in it. And we see like a very, very 90s like style view of all of these tiny bugs like moving around, and it's super gross and creepy. Scully thinks that they're hatching out of this wood, and Spinney says that, oh yeah, well, like Teague died and all of these miners disappeared right after that tree was cut down. Maybe they released something. Maybe they woke up hungry, which is a great line, like very spooky line.
This whole like concept, I don't know how far-fetched it is, but I was very into it.
It's good. I like it. Like, I really like the idea of them cutting a tree down and finding, like, old ancient bugs or ancient insect eggs, as Mulder later says, and a screen cap that I have to find somewhere. We cut back over to Steve, who arrives at the truck and has neglected to remember the one thing that a truck needs, which is keys. I find this very funny. I feel like this is a thing that doesn't exist anymore, where somebody, like, rifles through a vehicle looking for the keys, because now in, like, a modern era, who is leaving their car keys?
Nobody leaving their spare key in there.
But like I definitely remember like growing up, like watching my parents like park the truck, put the keys like in the visor, and like getting out and like going inside or whatever. Like, it's just bonkers to think about nowadays.
Different times.
Yeah, totally different times. He tries to hotwire the truck. That doesn't work either. He's checking the battery when he starts to hear weird noises. He picks up his gun, and that's when he sees the green bugs. He runs back to the truck, closes the doors, tries to hotwire it, but of course the bugs are managed to get in via the vent system and the doors. And as he eventually gets the truck started, he immediately just drives it into a rock, which I think is very funny. This guy's a very good, poor, bad day is what he's doing.
It's not going like your day. You know, he's busy, but he's not like you. He hasn't been learning. He's just driving into rocks. So this is where everything goes wrong. And this is where that bullet hole starts to come into play. Because as he's panicking, as shit starts to get dark, that bullet hole is a real liability in this truck.
Oh, they come from the bullet hole. I didn't pick up on that. That's good. I like that. Okay.
Yeah, they swarm in through there and they start getting him. And as he tries to get out, he hit that damn rock. He can't get his door open.
God damn that rock. God damn this fucking rock, he says, as he is consumed by insects.
Yeah.
We jet back over to the camp where the generator is now running. Larry is a little worried about Steve. Scully says now that the bugs aren't moving, and Spinney says it's because of the lights. Like, now that there's one single light bulb in this place, and now that the lights are on, like, it basically puts these insects to sleep. This is when Mulder starts asking a bunch of questions about insects and, like, questioning. I love the way that he wants to bring up things, which is like, hey, Scully, tell me everything you know about insects. And she like has to repeat her history lessons from high school or whatever. And then he just gets to riff, because then he's like, well, maybe a volcano erupted around the year that this ring was created. And these things were trapped.
I am so surprised that he went with volcano instead of being like, there was an extraterrestrial event 700 years ago that trapped. Like, he showed restraint.
He definitely showed. He's been sassy all episode, but now I think he's showing a little bit of restraint. You're right. I don't mind this at all. Like, I feel like this, they kind of talk about like maybe these insects were mutated because there were some documented cases, and Spinney pipes up and is like, I'm also a weird conspiracy theory guy, and that's true. They talk about like maybe these insects were mutated. Scully points out like they can't be mutated, there wasn't enough time, like that would take generations basically. And then that's when he has the great line of like, well, maybe they're just an ancient insect eggs that were just waiting to be hatched as this tree was cut down. And that's of course what happens, right? Like, and Larry is listening to this like and looking at his watch, like worrying about this guy that he presumably has known for a long time, and going like, you guys are just making shit up at this point. You guys are getting a little fucking carried away.
They're getting a little carried away. But what they're really trying to do is just get a grip on any possible information that they might have and any hypotheses that they can use to try and just figure out what to do, rather than just sit there on their hands.
Exactly. Yeah. I love this fade out that focuses on the light bulb and it goes to like the setting sun, and then it comes back.
As good as a fade to green, but still pretty good.
The next day, Spinney starts to sneak out, which I totally understand and support him in. He steals the gasoline on the way out, and Mulder catches him as he's about to like start this vehicle, I guess, and get it and leave. And they have this conversation of Spinney basically saying, I got to go get my people. They don't have enough gas, but for like 10 or 15 hours, then they'll get eaten. I have a Jeep over there. Like, if I can get there and take this gas, I can fill up the Jeep. I can get them out. I can come back and get you tomorrow. And Mulder is like, I don't fucking know you or trust you. And he's like, man, you got to trust me, man. And then he just does. Mulder's like, okay, that's fine. Like, I'll let you go.
Yeah, I guess he's just, I mean, it feels like, I mean, what can Mulder do? Obviously, he shouldn't have made this call without seeking advice from everybody, which Scully's going to chew him out for. But I don't know. There's part of me that's like, Mulder, that was really dumb. And the other part of it's like, well, you don't really have any fucking choices.
Yeah, there's a... It's because obviously this is for the plot, like that we have to set up this idea of them being stranded and then have like a at the last minute rescue team, right? Like that's what this is for.
Yeah.
I don't feel it's particularly out of character for Mulder to trust this guy because he's shown some compassion for like the weirdo extremist conspiracy theorist of the world, but in the past episodes, and he genuinely I think has a belief in like. Not in organizations, but in people. Like he believes about the good. Right. He believes the good in people, if not organizations. So I get that this all works, but also it's just a very stupid thing. Like take my last gasoline. Like no, absolutely not. Like that's like take half of it. Like I don't know right. what to tell you.
We should divvy that up a little bit better.
But whatever. We skip ahead a little bit. Mulder has repaired the radio. They don't know if they can receive any signals, but they can transmit. And then as they're starting to transmit, the generator gets cut off. And it's Larry that has cut it off, and he's extremely surprised and upset to hear that Mulder just allowed Spinney to walk off campus with all of their remaining gasoline.
Yeah, not awesome.
Because they don't have a whole lot left for this generator, so this is going to get dangerous very, very quickly for them.
Not an awesome move for anybody. And yeah, him and Scully have it out a little bit, but in the end, she doesn't stick on that. She's like, okay, well, that was stupid. Mulder's like, yep, it was stupid, and now we just have to move on from it and just do our best.
I will say, I think Mulder needed to give an actual apology here, and he didn't.
I think so, too. He just sort of like, I don't want to talk about it. I know it was dumb, okay?
Yeah, he kind of does that thing of like, it happened. We're over it. We just need to move forward. And I'm like, well, some people are still stuck on the fact that you didn't talk to them about like major changes to this organization. Yeah. Like, right? Like, we need to have this conversation. Also, Scully is wearing a vest here in the middle of this, and I just don't understand it. Like, the vest thing is very strange to me.
It's not her best fit.
It's not her best fit. I'm sorry, Gillian Anderson. Please do not come after me. Do not send your fans, please. Mulder points out like if the generator is going to run out, they need to button the place up pretty badly, so they need to like seal it up so the bugs can't get in. So they start nailing up like boards and visqueen, and this is when we learn that this one light bulb that we've seen a couple of times in the shots is the only working light bulb that they have, so they don't break it.
Yeah. No pressure. And then yeah, they just have to basically like survive the night. Right? Is this the night that, now I'm looking at my notes, but is this the night where the bugs come in the middle of the night?
Yeah, we're going.
Okay.
This episode moves really quickly.
Oh, like, I see it. Yeah. Okay. So they got the one light bulb, then night falls, then Scully sees in the corner, like, oh, they didn't board up one of the corners or something, and the bugs are coming in through the wall, and Scully starts freaking out. She almost breaks the light bulb. There's a lot of like tension here, because I think because it's moving so fast, it actually creates more tension.
Yeah.
Because you think like, okay, we're gonna spend a while like battening down the hatches and getting everything set up. It's like, no, we breezed through that.
Bug attack, now the issue
is here, and as long as they stay in the light, they are okay, I guess, because they're still under the light bulb. They're just okay.
I really like Scully's reaction to the bugs, because like we see obviously they're like glowing in the dark as they're coming in, and then she's like kind of pointing them out. She has her hand extended pointing them out to Larry and Mulder, and as one of them walks over, it puts her arm in a shadow, and she sees that like they're all over her arm, and that's when she starts to like really freak out.
Yeah.
And Mulder has to point out like, hey, they're all over everything, they're everywhere, but the light is protecting us, so that's, we have to. And then this becomes the tension of the show. Like we spend a lot of time the generator slowly drinking the gas, you know, them worrying about the light as it dims and then comes back. They have conversations about what the bugs could be. Scully is theorizing that they could be like related to fireflies, which oxidize enzymes to like break down proteins so that they can feed. All of those words are words. I don't know if they go together, but that sounded
those are
pretty
definitely
smart.
Words.
I felt like I strung all of those in the right order.
Definitely. You got them. I was hooked, you know?
I got them right. I feel like they all went right before and after each
you
other.
You had me. I mean,
Mulder meanwhile is like basically like, I think that Spinney will come back, and she's like, what are we gonna do if he doesn't? He's like, well, we'll figure something out. I'm like, I don't think you have a lot of ideas here, Mulder.
No, it seems like you're kind of running on empty here. They just hang out.
I was drinking some water, my bad.
That's all right. They just hang out until sunrise. like, things aren't looking good, but then the sun comes up.
Yeah, eventually the generator dies, and as soon as it dies, they look out the window and realize that, like, the sun has come up. So they decide they're going to steal a tire from one of the vehicles and then take it back to the truck so that they could, quote-unquote, limp down the mountain so they could get out of this place. And we see this, like, this takes a while. Like, we see, like, time passing. By the time they emerge to where the truck is, they're, like, covered in rain or sweat.
Yeah, storm has come back in. It's a bad time.
And this, of course, when they get to the truck, they find, you know, Steven all cocooned up, which is a bad thing to find, I think. Like, this is, confirms all of the worst things about what they probably thought this process was going. Fortunately, they hear a car coming. It's a Jeep. It's Spinny. He's back. He's going to rescue him. None of his friends survived. We don't care how. Who cares? Why did the loggers leave all their food on the table? Nobody cares. This is not that type of episode. Let's ride.
It's not the type of episode. It feels like...
What happened to that crew in 1939? Who cares? Yeah, let's ride.
Back then it was Bigfoot. This time it's bugs.
Back then it was Bigfoot. This time it's bugs. Absolutely.
So they all pack into the truck, but what do you fucking know? They're in the Jeep, and they ride over the goddamn cantrips.
Goddamn. Hoisted by your own petard.
Literally.
It's because, of course, this dude was the one that's been setting all of these things out. They're stuck. They see these green bugs. They start to come inside. Everybody is kind of going crazy. They attack.
I don't get this part, but yeah.
They attack Spinny first. Spinny gets out of the vehicle. Runs into the headlights, which I think was actually kind of a smart play, thinking that the lights would stop these bugs. But apparently once they're started, light can't stop them, right? I guess, maybe? Yeah. Maybe it's a different kind of light?
I don't know. It didn't work.
Yeah, this is the thing that the commenters on the Wikipedia page really, really get heated about. Because a lot of people pointed out, like, why not a fire? Like,
that's what I was thinking. I was like, well, if we don't have a generator, let's just get a big fire cooking.
Let's just get a bonfire going. But you know, some other people, maybe it's a different kind of light, which I think is giving the episode too much credit. I think the episode just wanted to be the episode.
I'm fine with that.
And it looks cool when he's in the headlights and the getting attacked by bugs. Like, that's what we need right now. That's what's going to sell the scene. And then he just runs into the woods, which, same, is exactly what I would do. I would have no capacity to understand what was going on at this point in the episode. Like, or in this point in my life, if I was surrounded by giant lions.
If I was surrounded by bugs, yeah, I think I'd be cooked.
I'd be out of there.
I'd be out of there. So, yeah, unfortunately, he came back. He did the heroic thing, but it didn't work out for him. The bugs get in the car, and they just cocoon everybody up. And in the morning, there's like a helicopter flies in, a whole group of trucks fly in, and they just find our crew cocooned inside the Jeep.
Dude, it's a long time. They spent a long time getting cocooned up in the vehicle. And the whole time, I'm like, how are they going to get out of this? Like, I don't understand it. Like, what could be going? What are they going to do? And, like, they don't do anything. They just get cocooned up. Like, that's what happens. What a bummer.
Maybe they all chased after Spinny. So they didn't get eaten. I don't know. I don't really know what happened here.
But it's fine because, again, like, their transmission managed to get out. So they've got quarantine staff on site to lift them to a high containment facility. And then obviously some time passes because we see Boulder, who has got this red, like what looked like insect bites all over his face and his chest, any place that's visible. He's walking around with like a fucking IV bag full of fluids and a limp. Like how is Scully? And Scully's still fucking passed out on the table. These doctors, I guess they're doctors, this government agency has identified that they're related to fireflies because they have the same kind of chemical in their bodies, the ciferin that breaks down enzymes and proteins or whatever.
It sucks you dry. Just say it.
Sucks you dry. It sucks you dry. It gives you the sucky is what it does, right? Is that how... Yeah. Is that what you say, Chris? Yeah. I've heard you say that a lot, the sucky
thing.
That's
what I say. I say, looking for the sucky, where the bug's at.
It's often you say it so much that sometimes I think I shouldn't bring it up anymore. Maybe I should tell you not to say sucky.
Yeah, it's one of those like verbal tics that I say that it almost seems like it's conscious though. I choose to say it.
It's like you learned it at a young age, like it was a joke from a movie or something, and then you just started repeating it because it made people laugh, and then it just stopped making people laugh, but you couldn't stop repeating it.
I never figured out that I shouldn't say it.
What was the line again about the sucky?
I'm looking for the sucky where the bug's at. Yeah. That's what I like to
say. It's pretty good. I mean, it got me like a half chuckle in my chest. It didn't come out, but like the chuckle was like, it formed in my chest,
well,
if that makes sense.
I'll say, I've been saying it on nearly every episode of every podcast we've ever recorded, and we haven't gotten too many complaints yet.
That's true. Maybe, so, guys, if you need to complain about Chris's
complaints about
constant
it.
Use of
let me know.
Sucky sucky. Please let us know.
At Local Bones on Twitter. Don't tweet me. You can DM me. But my DMs are closed.
Hit me up on Blue Sky. I don't know what my Blue Sky address is.
I need to get over on Blue Sky. I think I'm Local Bones. I need to get over there because Twitter makes me kind of want to die sometimes.
You know what I've been talking about on Blue Sky a lot, Chris?
Out of darkness?
Eating Godzilla. I want some of that.
Oh, you
want
to bite out? You want to bite out of that boy?
I want some sweet Godzilla meat. Is what I want in my life. I want to smoke some Godzilla steaks. And people responded like, "Oh, Jeremy, there's too much radiation." And I'm like, "Do you know how bad steaks are for you? Like, I've been eating those for years. I'm ready. I am ready to go." Me and Michael Prynne are going to form. Do you know what a cachondale is? Have you ever heard of a cachondale?
No, what is that?
Cachondale is basically you get a suckling pig and you bury it in the ground for a while and
you have me at suckling. All right, you have me at suck.
You get a sucky sucky pig and then you like prepare it and then you bury it in the ground with like some coals or stuff and it like cooks for a long time and it makes like this delicious pork kind of feast. It's like a party basically down here. It's like a French Acadian Cajun kind of thing. I want to do.
You guys have the most fun.
There's not a lot going on down here besides
up
bugs,
here in Boston. So. We just got alcoholism. That's all we got.
We have that too. Hey, come on down, buddy. We got that too. You want some alcoholism? We got beers. Anyway, we want to do a cachondale for Godzilla, which would involve a huge pit. Like it would involve.
Yeah. Oh, dude, one of the biggest pits.
One of the biggest pits, and it would require
one of the biggest pits.
One of like I feel like the community would really come together, though. You know what I'm
saying?
Absolutely.
It's like when a whale carcass washes up on shore and they try to blow it.
And they try to blow it up on that classic internet video. Yes. Has everybody seen that? Do you think like the TNT?
It just feels like it. Yeah.
God, it's so weird. Anyway, sucky sucky aside, we check in on Scully. She's lost a lot of fluids, but they were hours away from her dying, and luckily they found her. The government says, Mulder asks, like, how they're going to prevent these insects from getting out, and this dude, this doctor guy is like, oh, the government has set up a program to basically burn everything or, you know, use pesticide to get the entire area, to clear the entire area. And Mulder's
like... sending out like an extermination squad or something.
Yeah. And it's a bummer because like there's some old growth trees in there. You know, Larry's going to be really, really bummed at this reaction, I think. Like it's going to be... Nobody's going to even get to harvest the wood. Like they're just going to burn a bunch of old trees. It's a major bummer.
Yeah, after all this hemming and hawing and trying to figure out what the source of it is, the government's going to come in and they're going to cover it up and they're going to wipe it all out.
And Mulder says, what if that doesn't work? And the last line of the show is, that's not an option, Mr. Mulder. And the dude just walks off. And I'm like, what do you do? What is your job?
Does that guy even go here?
He just gave Scully a shot. And now you're like participating in government.
Hold on. Yeah, one of the other doctors comes up and goes, wait, hold on. He doesn't work here.
It was this guy.
What did he just inject in there?
But this episode,
and then we see the lab coat fall away as he gets outside. The camera follows him.
He's one of the bugs. He's one of the bugs. He's just a group of bugs. Excellent.
He's just a group of bugs and a pair of glasses and a lab coat.
What a fun episode. Like I had a lot of fun with this. It doesn't make a lot of sense, I think, if you think about it.
It doesn't
deeply,
have to.
But also, like, I had a great time. Titus was entertaining. All of the supporting cast was entertaining as heck. The shots were really good. Like I really appreciated a lot of the cinematography, like I always do.
I didn't mention it earlier, but the music in this is really, really good. It sounds just like the Resident Evil 1 like the save music. Safe room or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. That music is very similar to that. This came first. But,
this did come first. This is before
Resident Evil. It was giving those nice spooky vibes throughout it. I was really digging the soundtrack.
Have I ever told you that people, when I worked at the game store, when that game came out, people would call up and ask if we have Resident Evil?
That's sort of charmingly funny.
Yeah, I kind of love it. Yeah. So we have Resident Evil and cachondales down here. Everybody come to South Louisiana. We're going to have a good time.
And alcoholism.
A lot of alcoholism. Like if you need. Yeah. And if you're looking for some people with some beaties, buddy, let me tell you. We got the beaties down here real bad.
Okay. All right.
What a fun episode. I like this one a whole lot, even though like it doesn't make a tremendous amount of sense. So I'm again, like, not related to the plot, and I'm continually surprised. I don't know why. I feel like I just did not watch any of these episodes when they were coming out. Continually surprised that this is not more like meta plot driven, like just 20 episodes in and we've had like maybe a couple episodes that where he even mentions his sister, which I thought was like the overarching plot line of the first 5 to 9 seasons.
He doesn't want to be annoying about it.
He's not sucky about it.
It wasn't until, you know, millennial Sam Winchester came around and he was hemming and hawing every week about this or my demon blood that. You know what I mean? Like, Mulder was more chill about it.
God, Sam Winchester is so annoying. somebody posted a series of gifs of comparing Arthur to Dean Winchester. And there's one where Morgana, spoiling a little bit of, you know, Arthurian history, I guess, but where Morgana betrays Arthur, and the shot is like from her to back to him. And the matching shot they put of Dean Winchester is, Sam betraying him to Dean. And I'm like, are Sam and Morgana the same person? I need to write an essay immediately. I need to get into
similar
this.
Similar vibes.
Chris, what do you have to say about this episode to finish this
out?
I
don't know. It was cool. I dig it.
Okay. Do you have any lines that you'd like to say before we end the podcast?
I'm looking for the sucky, so if anyone could let me know where the bug's at, that'd be greatly appreciated. You guys got bugs down in Louisiana.
Oh, dude, we got the biggins.
I bet you got some big ones, dude. Some big blowflies or something.
We got some biggins. Autumn just bought a bunch of stuff to try to like keep the bug population down. Like we spent
bring
a lot of time
there.
Speaking
I'll take
about
care
bugs.
Of it.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'm sorry about all the sucky talk. Thank you to the patrons at patreon.com/monsterofthe week for continuing to support us. Thank you to the people leaving reviews and ratings on various services. We so much appreciate that. We will be back next week. And until then, remember to stay spooky.
Everything's been set up while I was eating my little pizza. Everything's been set up. Everything's locked in, good to go. I sit down and Discord is like, I just don't know, man. I just don't know. What the hell? All right. We're in.
What mic are you using? Because it sounds like it's inside your mouth.
You gotta be fucking kidding me. Does it sound wrong? Am I too close? Am I too loud? Or
it just sounds really loud, but it also kind of distorted. So I didn't know if I just that may be on me. Hold on. Before I blame you, let me.
I could have just piped. Maybe I can just pipe it down.
No. Keep going for me. Can talk a little bit.
Keep being piped up. I can be piped all day. I can be piped all night. I can be piped up and I can be piped down. You know what I'm saying? These are the things. These are the ways in which I can be piped.
You do sound a little hot. I had it turned up because I recorded with Gary recently, and I forgot that his volume is way lower than yours. So
how's this? Is this a little better? Is this a little better?
That is a little bit better. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Sweet. Hey.
What's going on, Chris? How are you?
I finished Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I think the last time we recorded, I just started it.
That's true. That's a fact. You would just, I think you were, no, you were, I feel like you were in the middle of it the last time we recorded.
It's
you
been
were,
a couple weeks.
I have a lot of questions for you about Rebirth now, because since we've recorded, I have almost completed Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yeah.
Which is a game that does not end, as far as I can tell. Like, I can't play. They were like, this is the point of no return, and now there's been like 7 hours of stuff since
then. I remember feeling really frustrated, and I get like this when I'm excited about a game, where I almost start to get anxious towards the end. I'm like, I have to see how this ends before I'm spoiled or anything like that. And with Remake, I remember trying really, really hard to finish it. Like, I was on vacation at the time and just couldn't manage to get it done, because every time I thought, I'm almost done, it'd be like, wait, no, you have 3 more hours exploring this lab with Red 13 or whatever.
Oh my god.
And I'm not gonna lie, the final boss fight is a very long sequence. That's not short either. And I died right near the end, and you had to start at the beginning again.
Oh
so
my god.
Back then I was very stressed. This time in Rebirth, the final boss does have a checkpoint, thank god. Otherwise it would have been like an hour and a half.
I'm the length of time, like the amount of time that I'm just spending slowly walking places is significant in this video game. Like, I'd kind of expected, I don't know what I expected from this game, because I had not finished Final Fantasy VII, and like, I feel like I've actually played the part of Final Fantasy VII that this game is remaking. Like, I think I've played everything.
I think
up
you said
until
you've gotten out of Midgar, so yeah.
That was exactly the point where I was like, okay, I'm gonna do this next time, and then it just never picked it back up again. But I don't like remember a lot of this stuff. I know a lot of it's new, but man, like the amount of time that the game just purposely slows you down for no reason is very frustrating. Like,
it's kind of crazy, and it made a lot of that game feel really tedious. Obviously I'd love it because I love Final Fantasy VII, but do I love it as a video game, or do I just love it as like a thing? That's the question I'm constantly asking myself. But yeah, that game is slowly moving down city streets, and it just seems like it's doing everything it can to kind of like to slow things down. Like the side quests don't feel fun. And I mean, obviously I did all of that stuff and I enjoyed the game. I enjoyed the combat, but there was some definite sagging to it.
Yeah.
And Rebirth fixes almost any of that. I can't think of really any situations where you're just like walking slowly for a while. Everything is so open and so fast, and there's so much happening all the time, which you could argue is maybe a bad thing. You're always doing something different. My biggest complaint is that some of the mini games, of the thousands of mini games, are weirdly extraordinarily challenging, and you'll have to complete them to do certain things. So
I've definitely heard that. Like, I've heard that the is it the Queen's Gambit or the Queen's Reign or whatever.
Queen's Blood is the card game, and that's fucking dope. I love that game.
I've heard it's like, you know, it's extremely good. Like, people get kind of addicted to it. And actually, as a card game kind of freak right now, like, that seems like it's up my alley. So.
It's very simple. And then, of course, like any good card game gets a little bit more complex as you go. But I think it's such a slow build that you will feel like you have a grasp on it the entire time. It's the same experience I had with Gwent. I know you didn't play too much of The Witcher 3, but that never felt like it got too overwhelming. It steadily improved. You had to steadily like adapt new strategies and get new cards and stuff, and that's how this is. But it never felt like, what the fuck am I doing? This is too much. Not like a real card game, you know?
Exactly, yeah. I went to a board game place today.
Oh, yeah?
I kickstarted that Dark Souls board game.
Oh, yeah.
And I kickstarted all of the expansions. So I had the giant box that the game comes in, and then three shrink wrap expansions. And I know I've told you before, like, I broke out that Dark Souls box once when I had a buddy down and we played it, and we had like the most miserable time playing it. Like, it was just, it was the dude was down for like a week and we had hung out, and every day was a great time except for this day, which were just like this, because it took like 4 hours. Like, we had a YouTube video going on the TV to explain how to play it because it was so fucking obtuse. So I've never enjoyed having this thing. Like, and I thought I was going to be like, oh, the figs, right? Like, the figs are going to sell this for me. And like, they've just been sitting in the closet. So, I packed them up in the car. I called this place today, and was like, hey, do you guys buy board games? And the guy was like, nah, man, like, I can't sell you shit in this place. Like, he goes, you know, I guess tell me, what board game is it? And I was like, it's the Dark Souls board game and like three sealed expansions. He's like, come here now. I would like to buy this from you.
That's awesome. He's probably expecting you're going to hit him with like Monopoly or some shit.
I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah. Who knows what kind of random ass questions this dude gets, but, he was like, yeah, like they, you know, they do runs of this thing, but like, if you're not like in the loop, like it, like, you know, I said, yeah, man, Souls fans are weird. Like, they're just buy up everything with the name on it. So that's where I am. He priced out everything really at like funny. $330 for this fucking board game. And then did not give me that much money for it.
Oh, sick. Oh, okay. Oh, tight.
He was like, this is what it's worth, and this is what I will give you. And I'm like, I just want this shit out of my house. Like, to make any kind of money on this whatsoever is gold for me. But it was interesting. I hadn't been into a, like, because this guy, like, used to run the comic book shop that closed down. But this place is definitely more like board game first. And so he had like all of the cards and like all of like tons and tons of board games, a table set up so people could play it. He runs like Yu-Gi-Oh tournaments on every week. Like, I'm like, where is this culture coming from? Like, are people coming to the Yu-Gi-Oh tournament? He's like, oh man, yeah, I have problems parking. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Wow. That's fucking crazy. Good for you, I guess. But yeah, it was interesting. Just talking about card games, I guess, got me on this. But like
I used to love those kind of places, but was very intimidated by them. I tried to play in a Yu-Gi-Oh tournament when I was 12, and it didn't go well. But I have very fond memories of that kind of like era of my life of just walking into a comic book store or whatever, and just seeing all the nerds at play. It's kind of something kind of beautiful about it.
He said that every Saturday he does Smash tournaments. So people bring in TVs, because he didn't have any TVs anywhere. So people bring in their TVs and their 64s or their whatevers, and then like hook up everything and then like play some fucking Smash. And I was like,
yeah.
this seems like kind of the thing that like I like to like that. Like
yeah,
I don't.
No,
actually,
I'm so happy for people to want to do that. I don't want to. I'm.
I don't
want to
do it at all. Yeah. Then that was the thing
that's
that,
sick.
That was the thing that like I, because I sat there and chatted with the dude. There was nobody in the store at like 10 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday, right? Like so. Yeah, yeah. I sat there and chatted with the dude for a while. Because that's the kind of motherfucker I am. I'll just sit there and talk to somebody.
No, you're
who cares?
Locked in. Yeah, no problem. No problem.
But I've realized like there's nothing for me in that store anymore, and I just and there's like a part of me that like felt like that was part of a nerd identity that I had. Like, oh, I'm a nerd. I like video games. I like this other stuff. So I also have to like Warhammer 40K, or like I have to like at least know what it is, or like know what these board games are, or like
yeah.
I mean, he's got a wall of like comic books and stuff. He had like all of the Berserk hardbacks. We had a long conversation nice. About Berserk, because apparently those are coming in out of print. So like he has people like on waiting list for those. But it just made me realize like nothing in that store. I would never. I don't need to go to that store anymore. Mm-hmm. Like I buy comic books like digitally, which
right. No. You don't need the stuff anymore.
I don't need any of that stuff, and it just was kind of a bummer to be honest with you. I was kind of now the one thing
no,
that
means
he,
you're free. You're free. That's
the one thing he
way.
Did have that intrigued me. That was $600, and I didn't know they made these. Did you know they make like taxidermed dragons? I guess I get
dude,
this.
Huh?
Like, do you know how like when you kill a deer,
is it a real animal?
No, not at all. Do you know like when they kill a deer, they like mount the deer's head?
Sure, yeah.
So they make like dragons heads in like a mount form,
all
like
right.
That.
That's kind of sick.
And like he was
like
he
kind of sick.
He had three of them in these giant boxes, and like one on display of a it's the bear owl, or not the bear owl, the wood owl from
the owl bear.
The owl bear. Thank you. He had like an owl bear head hung up on the wall.
That's sick.
Which is fucking. It is. And when I'm saying like hung up, like huge. Like the owl bear head was bigger than me than my head. Yeah. It was.
So
it's large.
Yeah. If you play D&D or you have like an event space or something like that's the kind of thing you
that's
can't
the
just
kind of
throw
shit that
in your,
you want
yeah you can't put that in your office though
and
well,
he was
unless
and, I mean you could put it in your office like
I'm hoping this story ends with you saying
so
no. I bought it.
He had three of them. One was marked not for sale because somebody was like slowly paying it down. And he said, I would usually just keep one of these in stock because they're kind of hard to move items. I'm like, well, why do you have two of them? And he's like, well, a guy bought it and like put a down payment on it and then like has not lost his jobs and has just told me he's not gonna be able to buy it anymore because it's $600. It's just, it's an expensive thing. So like, he's like, so you just have it on your shelf? And he said, yeah. I said, you want to like go for about $300?
I'll trade you.
Guess what I have in my hand that's worth about $300? It's called the Dark Souls board game and three sealed expansions. How about it, my friend?
Oh man.
But no, I did not purchase. It was tempting. I think if it had been out of the box, like I just saw like the printed thing on the outside. I think if it had been out of the box, I would have maybe talked to him on like a, you know, like a special or something.
Get the floor model version of it.
Get the floor model, and like it would have been like I would have seen it and been like, that's a fucking dragon on a mountain.
Would have stirred your heart a little more.
Fucking cool as shit. I think you can get specific dragons too. Like if you're that deep into it, like oh man, that's so cool. But yeah, I had kind of a bummer time today because it was. I mean, I had a great time at the store, like meeting the dude, but just realizing like I never need to walk into this place again. Like, he's not,
yeah, you've unloaded your goods. What's the purpose of going back?
I know, man. It was just maybe that it's not even. I can't even say that part of my life is over because it was never a part of my life. I've never been a board game guy.
I do know what you mean, though. It felt like you had to have you had to have your finger on the pulse of everything to be a nerd, especially when you're young. And it's like, okay, yeah, I got to know about all this stuff. I'm not into it. But I gotta know about it.
If somebody challenges you, you gotta be aware.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You need to know. You have to fucking know. Uh-huh. And sometimes you just like, you know, that's why you have to learn like enough about Warhammer 40K to get through a conversation at a wedding.
Gotta
like,
know just enough about it. Yeah. And that's how I get through every fucking wedding. Because we go and everybody's normal and you know, dressed nicely. And Jess is like, so why don't you tell them all about your anime figures? And I'm like, fuck, I don't want to do that. And then immediately somebody will bring up some whatever niche interest they're in, and I have to know enough to
you
be able
to
play
you
along.
Have to have the conversation. Absolutely. Yeah. I get it.
I survived off of stuff you told me about Marvel for years at weddings. At one time, I think I texted you at a wedding, or a wedding party, whatever.
Yeah, you had an MCU question, I think, right?
I was like, okay, who dies in Endgame or something like that. I was like, I need to know these. I have to get in this.
I have to get in this conversation. I have to understand what's going on. Yeah. The amount of times that I have pretended to know anything about Call of Duty in my life,
right,
just to have
right,
like the video game conversation with a coworker or a work acquaintance.
This poor kid I work with, he always tries to talk to me when I'm really, really busy and stressed out, and he'll just bring up video games that I'm not interested in, and I just pretend like I've never heard of it. And it's not very nice of me, but I'm just like, oh yeah, I don't know what that is. And
I don't know who Kratos
Assassin's
is.
Creed, and I had to pretend like I'd never heard of Assassin's
What's
Creed?
Assassin's Creed? Who's Ezio?
And then
Ezio.
Afterwards, realizing how stupid I sounded, I had to, like, you know, I only play like RPGs and stuff, so I'm just, you know, I'm kind of out of it.
What's the difference between Assassin's Creed and Ghost of Tsushima?
One of them is I don't know what the difference is.
Yeah, because neither one of us has played
Ghost.
An Assassin's Creed game in years.
That's right.
So
I think they're making a samurai one.
God,
maybe I'll check
like
that out.
So fucking boring. Like I can't even start. The other thing I wanted to tell you about is that I discovered something new this week.
What's up?
This past weekend, and this may be common knowledge to everybody, but like I like Godzilla movies. I don't know if you know this mm-hmm. about me. I like Godzilla yeah. movies. I don't like the American Godzilla movies. I'm like a little cool on, like, especially since
sure,
like
sure.
like there's some animated stuff on Netflix that's really, really good. I really like the originals for like their just like sheer audacity to do the stuff they were doing back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course, like, you have like Shin Godzilla, which is just an amazing movie. The most recent one, Godzilla Minus Zero, is supposed to be, or Godzilla Minus One, is supposed to be absolutely incredible, but it's not come to streaming yet, so I haven't seen it. Very excited about it, though. So we're scrolling on Apple TV because we're just like desperately trying to find something to watch, and we're about to start this one show, and Autumn goes, "What's that?" And it's something called Monarch: Legacy of Monsters. And so we like watch a quick trailer, and there's giant monsters everywhere. There's Godzilla is fucking everywhere. Like, he's just, and there's other giant like kaiju running around, and I'm like, this, and there's a government conspiracy. This is fucking dope. I'm very excited about this. And the first episode opens with this woman having flashbacks to Godzilla attacking San Francisco, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure I saw this movie. Like, this is the Godzilla movie, right? And she's like, I have no idea. Which Autumn is like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So I look it up, and I discover that there's a MonsterVerse. There's a series of movies and TV shows about Godzilla that are just all connected.
Oh,
that are culminating.
You've already been in it, and you didn't even know.
Didn't even know. This is culminating a movie that comes out this month with his Godzilla and Kong, which I watched the trailer for.
Okay, I heard about that.
There's a tiny Kong in that movie in the trailers.
Tiny Kong versus huge Godzilla.
Which I just think the idea of a tiny Kong is so hilarious. It's, I mean, it's just like the opposite of what you want from Kong, to be honest with you. You know what I'm saying?
I want him huge. No offense. I want him huge.
Yeah. Tame dragon. Like, it's just an oxymoron.
No
like,
way.
What are you doing, dude?
But
yeah, this TV show time hops around all of the movies.
Oh.
And Monarch is the like government thing that's supposed to be tracking all of these giant monsters or whatever. And it's like the formation of Monarch and like what's happening in the future. Like, it takes place in the 50s and the 70s and then like modern day, and I'm just like, it's a great show, Chris. Like, I'm like, it's 10 episodes.
Animated or
no, it's full live action. It's got
is it Japanese or is it a Western show?
I think it's a Western show. There are Japanese actors in it, so
okay,
the chick from Shogun is in it.
All right,
she's the main star. And then like someplace it takes place in Tokyo, but they like travel around the world. It seems like a lot of the stuff is like actually filmed on location because they went to Alaska.
This is fucking awesome.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking great, man. Like, I'm having a great time watching this, and like, we watched the trailer for the new movie coming out thinking like, oh yeah, we're into it. Like, now we've got this whole like, fucking universe. Like, let's see what's up with Kong. And like, it just looks so ridiculous and stupid that I can't wait to watch it. Like, I'm just gonna But the show is really like, we watched like four episodes before I put together that this was a MonsterVerse. Like, that they had like six movies and another TV show. Like, I gotta go seek all of this stuff out.
They're deeper than the MCU at this point.
Yeah, apparently like Kong Skull Island is part of this, which I was like,
what?
I thought that was just like a Kong movie. Like, I didn't give a shit about it, but now I gotta go watch Kong.
Is Kong Skull, that's not the one Peter Jackson did, is it?
I don't know. I honestly
like
have 2006-ish,
no idea. 2006-ish, Peter Jackson did a King Kong movie. I like
that. No, I think this is earlier than that. Later. Okay. This is later than that,
later
I need
than
to
that,
say.
Later than that. Okay. Yeah, I haven't kept up with it. I recently unlocked the memory that I would go to this place, West Coast Video, not even Blockbuster. I would go to West Coast Video, and I would rent the black and white Godzilla movies when I was a kid to watch on VHS. And
oh, yeah.
I don't know how I forgot about that, but I was like, that was like my whole thing when I was a little boy. I loved Godzilla, and dude, I just watched all these old Japanese movies. No wonder I got into anime.
Godzilla versus Megalon. Like, I probably had that VHS, and I probably wore the fucking wheels out on it. Like, I loved it so much. There's a part where Godzilla like speeds across the landscape on his tail and fucking double kicks Megalon.
Oh yeah.
And I may be saying it. It's not Megalon. Is it Mechalon? Megalon?
I can't. I remember there was the Hydra one that had three heads. There was Mecha Godzilla, which was just Godzilla. But he was
good,
metal.
Like in metal, yeah, which is great.
There's Mothra, which is the moth.
I love Mothra.
I don't know. Let's get a list. I mean, we're like 20 minutes in, but let me get
it's Megalon. It's Megalon. It's MGA, MEGA Lon. So
I'm Googling classic Godzilla. Monsters,
I think they're all
Mothra
on streaming now. Like, I think you can just go stream any of them.
I'm down for that because I bet this would unlock some real childhood nostalgia for me. I reached a point when I was like 5 where I was like, I don't like Disney movies anymore. And I was too cool, but really it's because like they just kept making me cry, and I've never really enjoyed being in touch with my feelings. So I just was like, I'm shutting this off, and I'm gonna watch cool stuff like Power Rangers and Godzilla.
My hairdresser today, who is a younger woman, but she has kids.
You really
kids.
Did have a lot going on today.
I did a lot of activities today, Chris. I'm not going to lie. She was telling me she tried to get her 6-year-old to listen to Paul Wall, which is like for whatever reason, like down in the South, people really, really worship that dude. And I've never understood why. I've never been a Paul Wall fan. Like, I've just never like got into it. And apparently the 6-year-old was too cool for Paul Wall. He was like, this is what you call rap, mom. And like the 6-year-old listens to DaBaby or whatever, and I'm just both of you guys are so fucking lame. I'm like, I can't even please
bring your son
out
here so I can cook his ass.
Yeah, bring him out here. I need to teach him about hip-hop.
DaBaby.
DaBaby's listening to DaBaby.
When you finish Remake, we're gonna have a little conversation about that at Rebirth a little bit. I won't spoil Rebirth, but I'm itching. Nobody I know is beating it. It's driving me crazy.
I will let you know. I should be able to. I'm hoping to get a couple hours in tomorrow morning. I don't know. I really have no idea how long I have to. Like, Red 13 just attacked Hojo.
Okay.
And he got like froze or whatever, and so like I'm running through more labs and more testing labs or something, and I was just like I gotta stop this right here. Like, I can save and just come back to this later before I get so mad that I don't want to finish the video.
I just remembered a whole other section that you haven't done yet.
Cool. Great. I tell you what, it's super fun, like splitting your people into two different teams and going to open doors for one another. What exciting gameplay this is.
There wasn't any of that in Rebirth, I can tell you that much.
Oh man, I just it floors me sometimes about this video game, Chris. Like, as I'm playing it, I'm like, why am I playing this? This is the most boring thing ever.
Yeah,
anyway.
It's gonna be hard to go back to that if I ever want to like relive the story after playing Rebirth. But anywho,
X-Files.
Perfect.